Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. It's funny, when we were living in Connecticut, me and David, we had a Sunday school teacher who was teaching out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and I honestly just couldn't stand it. I thought it was so boring, and I was like, man, there's nothing good comes out of Ecclesiastes. And then one day I was reading it, and the Lord said, there's plenty good in it, you just got to pay attention. Amen. And so thank God for that. Even when I'm stupid, the Lord still helps me. Amen. Just a couple announcements before I get into the teaching tonight. Just remember June 1st, this Saturday, that's a breakfast for the teenagers. So that's going to be 9 to 11. So just please remember to be here. It's going to be $7 a plate. I know that it's all you can eat pancakes though, so it's all good. So you can just keep on. You can make that $7 up. So just remember that. And then if anybody wants to make donations, I'm only asking because I know last year some people did donate eggs and things like that. If you want to do it again this year, that's great. We'll take that, but Friday, me and my wife are going to pick up the stuff we need. If you want to make any donations, that's perfectly fine. Just let us know. And then the 15th, the two Saturdays after that, that's going to be the car wash. That'll be 9 to 12. So be praying for good weather for that and plenty of people coming in for that so that we can help the teens going to teen camp make that cost, all right? So I just wanted to say that. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. My voice is a little rough today. I think I got something with allergies, so be praying for my voice. I've got sunburn all over my arms, and I got some kind of flesh-eating disease. I think it's leprosy or poison ivy. I'm not sure which one, so we'll take a look at that. But it's gross, so don't shake my hand today. It looks really gross. Like, I'm already fat and ugly. Now I got, like, poison ivy. So pray for my wife that she keep having strong delusions, and she'll still think I'm still good-looking. So God's been working so far. It's been a blessing. Just hopefully it stays that way. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Let's read verse number 1. It says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Lord, I need your help tonight, God. I pray that you'd please speak through me. God, there's nothing that I can do without you, Lord. I pray that you'd please magnify your word tonight, Lord. I pray that the scripture would do the speaking. And God, I pray that you'd please empty me of all selfishness and pride, God, and anything in me that would hinder your spirit moving, God. I pray that you would just humble me under the mighty hand of God tonight. And I pray that you'd help me. God, thank you for the people here that are faithful. God, they want to hear something from you, and I pray that you'd please give it to them, God, in spite of me. And I just thank you, and I love you, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I was reading one day, and I got down to verse number 8. We'll read it again. It says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And so I got looking at that part about the hedge. And one thing that we all say, and we know that we say this a lot, is we pray for a hedge of protection, right? We say, Lord, whether we're traveling mercies, we say, God, put a hedge of protection around them. Or if we're praying for youth rally or August revival, we'll say, God, put a hedge of protection around our church that the devil doesn't interfere with it. Or even a Sunday morning service, whatever it may be, we're constantly asking God for a hedge. And so I got thinking about that. And so the whole point, we're going to have a little Bible study tonight on the word hedge. And so I got thinking about it, and I wanted to see what the Bible said about hedges and what God says about hedges, and I find that there's a very great biblical truth about hedges that has something directly to do for us. And so we're going to be turning to multiple places tonight, but I believe that if you can follow along, I believe there's something in here for us that God can help us. Webster's 1828, it defines a hedge as a thicket of thorn bushes or other shrubs or small trees, but appropriately such a thicket planted around a field to fence it or in rows to separate the parts of a garden. But simply, what a hedge is, it shows ownership. And so I remember I was talking to Brother Jim one day, and he has a garden, and he said that he's planted a hedge around his garden, or has a hedge around his garden. It might be, I think it's some kind of fencing you said you used. something like that. And so that's a hedge. And what he has it there, he has it whether it be for protection or whatever it may be. But if I walk in the back of Brother Jim's house, that hedge there is going to say, hey, that's his garden. He owns that garden. The things that are in the garden are his, all right? The fruit that comes out of it, he's got a right to it before I do. If I just walk in there, I'm like, start grabbing stuff, he's going to be like, hey, that's mine. Please leave my house. Why are you here? All right, so he's not going to like that. He's not going to be too happy if I do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so Paul says, what? You don't know that you're owned? You don't know that when God died for you and that you accepted that payment, when you said, God, come into my heart and save me, you don't realize that you're now his? You're bought with a price. So if you're in here, this is the Wednesday night crowd, so I hope that everyone's saved in here. And so if you're in here and you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not your own anymore. Yeah. You don't own this anymore. This body is not yours. Your life is not yours. You're now owned by an almighty God. And so what he does is when you get saved, you're now his property. So that hedge, if you will, is made to show what is his. And so a lot of times in the Old Testament, and we'll go through this here, Israel, a lot of times, they had a hedge about them. And so God said, if you would do right and you would live right, Israel, I'm going to have a hedge around you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there for you. I'll be your God. And that land of Israel had a hedge around it, which simply said, this is mine. This is my people. This is my nation. They live by my name. They represent me. And so anything that's in that hedge should represent him. And so what we are is we're ambassadors to God. And so when we get saved, we represent him. And so the question tonight that I'd like to ask you is when you go out, do you represent him? Do you simply in your life and the way you are you representing Jesus Christ? It's a simple question, but sometimes we fall so short of that. When we think how holy God is and how good he is and how amazing he is, I fall short so often just walking into work. Within 5 minutes, sometimes I can fall short of representing Jesus Christ. And so it's easy to fall short of that, but we have to remember that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're in that hedge. And so anything in the hedge of God is owned by him. And first thing we see here, hedges are given by God. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, look at verse number 33. This is the story of the husbandman, the wicked husband who killed the people that the man sends to him. But look in verse number 33. The man is God. It says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard. All right, and so God here is planting a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And so what he did is he has this property. He plants a garden. He plants a vineyard. And then he hedges it around it. And all I want you to see simply in this verse is that it's God who gives the hedges. So any hedge around us, when we pray, God put a hedge of protection around us, we're praying the right thing because it's God who's going to put that hedge around you. And so he gives that hedge. What are hedges for? That's the question. Let's look at Job chapter number 1. Job chapter 1. If you have your Bible, make sure you're turning these places. I want you to see the Word of God. It can say a whole lot more than I ever can. Job chapter number 1. It says in verse number 1, we'll start there. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feareth God and eschewed evil. Now watch all these next few verses. You'll see a lot of great things about Job's life. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now would you say that Job was blessed?
Yeah.
He was the greatest man in all the East. I would say he's blessed. So why is he blessed? Let's look at verse number Let's look at verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? All right, he was walking to and fro from the earth, and Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. Spoiler alert, I just said that, sorry. And from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Have you ever thought about this story? This ain't the message, but have you ever thought about if God could say that about you? It's almost scary if God could say that about you, because who knows what's about to come. But what a great thing to be that close to God and to be trying to live so clean and so right that God said, hey, have you considered him? That's a great compliment from the Almighty. And he said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Watch this part. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You know why the first reason that hedges are given to us? Because everything inside the hedge of God is blessed. Everything. If you are owned by God and he has a hedge about you, your life is blessed. You say, well, I have some hard things that I go through. Right, there's storms. There's things that need to happen. There's things that need to happen for you to grow and things like that. But ultimately, if you're inside that hedge, you're in the blessings of God. Amen. And if you really, truly, a Christian that loves the Lord is trying to do right, they'll see that even in the hard things, they'll see all the things that God's doing. They'll see the things that they can be thankful about. They'll see that their family is healthy. They'll see that they have a roof over their head and all these things. God takes care of us in so many ways. So if you really, that song, count your many blessings, count them one by one, we can't do that. If you really tried to just start listing out the blessings of God, that I promise you, you'd get started and it would end with you just being on your face saying, God, thank you. Yeah. God, I don't deserve that. Amen. You know how you can get out of a bad mood real quick? Just start thinking about how good God's been.
Yeah.
It's hard to be in a bad mood. It's hard to be angry when you're thinking, man, God's just been good to me. Whatever happens, I surely deserved it. Because God's blessings are all around us. And so here, Job, his blessings are just, I mean, everyone sees it. The world sees it at this point. He's got sons and daughters. He's got land. He's got animals. He's got all these things because inside the hedge of God, there's a great blessing. Now look at Psalms 1. Psalms 1. The other day, I heard a message by Brother Gibbs, the lawyer, and he went through Psalms 1, and I sent it to Ryan and a couple other guys, and I said, man, you got to listen to this because it punched me in the mouth. Because what he said, it was so simple, but yet we take it for granted. Look at verse number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a promise in the Word of God. Everything you do, everything you touch will prosper. And again, I'm not saying that there won't be times of hurt and heartache. I'm not saying there won't be storms. But I'm saying ultimately, if you're walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, if you're not sitting in the way of sinners, if you're not sitteth in the seat of the scorner, if you're delighting in his law day and night, if you're just living like a Christian, basically, if you're trying to live right, you're reading your Bible every day, you're praying every day, you're trying your hardest, whether you fall or not, to do right and to live right, when you fall, you get back up. If you do all those things, then God has made us a promise saying that everything you do, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. Say, well, what is that? That's living life in the hedge of God. If you're in that hedge and you're doing what's right, everything you do will prosper. One thing he said, and I pray that I never forget this. He said one night he was watching some TV show in his hotel room. He said it was a Sunday night right after a service. And he said that while he was there, I kind of drink. He said that something came on the television. I think he was looking for a basketball game, but another show came on. And he said he started watching it. And he said while he was watching, it wasn't nothing R-rated or anything like that, but he said what the characters were doing were ungodly. Now, ungodly simply means not God's way. And so they were doing something that was not God's way, and they were mocking the things that were God's way. And he said he's watching this thing, and he said he's sitting in his bed, and he doesn't turn it off, like many of us have done. He said he doesn't turn it off. He's sitting there listening to it. And he said the Holy Spirit of God met him where he was, right in his heart, and said, are you willing to trade whatsoever he doeth shall prosper for a little bit of entertainment? Are you willing to trade that? Are you willing to trade that your life being blessed beyond measure? Are you willing to trade that everything you touch prospering for a little bit of entertainment, something that just made you laugh? Something that you shouldn't have watched it. It wasn't the worst thing in the world. You shouldn't have done it. It wasn't that bad. But you just trade it. Whatsoever you'll do will prosper. You traded that. And I remember he said that, man. It hit me right where I was. I'm not saying I got that idea. I'm saying the Lord said, this is you. And it hit me. And man, right at my desk at work, right during my lunch break, I got down and said, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to trade that for anything. I want what everything I do to prosper. I want the blessings of God. I want to be in the hedge of God. I want to be doing right. And I don't want to trade that for something so small as a little bit of entertainment, as something just made me laugh, something that tasted good, felt good, whatever it may be, that little bit of moment, that one moment, and you traded it all. Was it worth it? Psalms 1, that's living a blessed life. That's living in the hedge of God. Look at Job chapter 1. Go back there. Job chapter 1. Going back to verse number 10. It says, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto God, said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan is very smart. He's very crafty. He knows how to say exactly what needs to be said. He knows what he's doing. And so when he mentioned that hedge, he mentioned it for a reason. He didn't mention it just to talk about the blessings. Satan mentioned it because he realized he couldn't pass it. Satan mentioned that hedge because he realized that was the one thing standing in between him and Job. And so he said, God, he's serving you for a reason. He's doing right for a reason. It's not, I mean, basically he's saying, God, you've been easy on Job. He has that hedge. You see that hedge right there? The reason he's doing right, the reason he's living right is because it's there. He's protected. That hedge is for our safety. You know why God gives that to us? He doesn't give it to us just to bless us. He gives it to us to protect us from outside threats. See, Satan realized he couldn't get through there. Isn't that something powerful? I mean, this is Satan we're talking about. This is the covering cherubim. This is the one who boldly in his heart said, one day I'm going to be above God. That's a powerful person. This is someone that Michael the archangel literally had to fight, and if it wasn't for God, wouldn't have won. This is a powerful being. And something like a hedge stopped him. That's a powerful hedge. It's a hedge of God. It's meant for our protection. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, it says that there's a serpent right on the outside of it. So why is it on the outside of it? It's waiting. It's coiled up waiting. Because see, what it happens is it's just waiting for someone to mess up. It's waiting for someone to get on the outside of that hedge. Because see, in the hedge, you're good. You're in the blessings of God. You're protected as a Christian. But if you start thinking, man, I wonder what's on the other side of that hedge. You know what that serpent's doing? You know what that devil's doing? He's going, oh, it's great over here. How about you come and try it? Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. You think the blessings of God are good? Wait till you see what's on the other side of the hedge. And he'll start telling you about things that are truth. You realize that? Satan talks the truth a lot. He just leaves out some of the details.
Yeah.
And so he'll say these things that sound real good. Listen, young person, he'll say some things to you girls about some boy on the other side of that hedge that sounds real good.
Yeah.
But you know what he's doing? You don't realize that that boy over there, he's got a snake wrapped around him.
Yeah.
He had no idea.
Yeah.
See, Satan is very smart. He'll get you to walk across that hedge because he knows he can't get in without God's permission. Here he ends up giving Satan permission to touch Job, and he gives him some stipulations on that. But without the permission of God, you're untouchable.
Yeah.
Without God saying, hey, it's okay, you're untouchable. You've got a protection around you. And so you've got the hedge for protection. You've got the hedge for blessings. But not only that, look at Hosea. Right after the book of Daniel, the book of Hosea, in chapter number 2, Hosea chapter number 2. Now, this story here is about Hosea and a woman named Gomer. And Gomer's a prostitute, and God has Hosea marry her as a type and picture of Israel. Because Israel at the time was whoring after all these other gods and forsaking their own God for all these other things for themselves and for their pleasures. And so he has Gomer here as a great type and picture of that. And Hosea has to marry her because he's a faithful man of God trying to do right. And that's his commandment. Can you imagine that, if that was the will of God for your life? Hey, Hosea, I know you're doing right. I know you're living right. So what I want you to do is go marry that prostitute. Can you imagine? God asks some crazy things sometime. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are we going to do whatever God wants? And here in chapter number 2, verse number 6, it says, talking about Gomer, his wife, it says, "Therefore, behold," God talking to her, "I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find," whose paths? Her paths. "And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them." I like this part. "Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." You know why that hedge is there? And I promise you, I pray this as much as I can remember. That hedge is there to protect you from your own desires. That hedge is to protect you from you. Sometimes when I'm praying in my prayer life, I say, "God, would you put a hedge in my way? Because I'm wicked.
Yeah.
My heart is wicked." That song we sing, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It." Man, that is so true about us. God is so good and so holy and so wonderful, yet we want to leave him every step we get. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
To think about that. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All that. And yet we still want to walk away.
Yeah.
We still want to please our flesh. We still want that instant gratification like Esau. We'll trade it all in. We'll trade whatsoever thou doest will prosper, just like that, for a little bit of pleasing our flesh. But you know how good God is? He said, "There's a hedge right here. You're going to have to work for it. If you want to leave, I'm going to try to stop you. I'm going to put this in your way to protect you from yourself." It's not because he's some mean God sitting up in heaven going, "I don't want you to have fun. I don't want you to have all these pleasures." He's saying, hey, in the hedge of God, you'll have more fun than you'll ever have. In the hedges of God, you'll have a life that's blessed beyond measure. In the hedges of God, your life will mean something. You'll have a purpose. There's nothing good out there. All that is out there is that snake. It's ready to bite. All that's out there is that lion ready to devour. All that's out there is hurt and sorrow and bitterness. And God knows that. And so the hedge, it's for your own protection. And so if you don't get anything else tonight, I challenge you, pray that for yourself. Pray that for your kids.
Amen.
Saying, "God, would you put a hedge in their way? Would you put a hedge in my way? Because, God, I sure am stupid." That's just the honest truth, isn't it? God, if I take one step, it's going to be the wrong direction. God, would you put a hedge of protection in front of me? And you know what that hedge is for? Not only to stop you from doing something dumb, but look at that verse number 7. Look at the end of it. "For then was it better with me than now." You know what that hedge does? It helps you realize that what's out there isn't nearly as good as what's inside with God.
Yeah,
that hedge, you say, well, how does it stop you? Well, here's a good illustration for you. The other day, me and Brittany went to Breakneck Park. I call it Breakneck usually, but I try to say it right for the message. Breakneck Park, we went there, and we're walking down that trail in the trees, if you've ever been there. And we're walking through, and we see this trail that kind of goes up a hill. And so it looks kind of covered, but we're like, I wonder if there's anything cool over there. It was like Caesar Rodney or something. Wasn't that cool? But we went up there, and we take a left, and we're going into it. But as we're getting into this trail that not a lot of people take, there's thorns in the way. There's a lot of things stopping us from continuing. And it hurt, by the way. I don't like thorns in my skin. It's not fun. I wasn't like, "Brittany, I'm so glad we're doing this. Let's keep going." All right, so eventually we stopped and realized whatever's over there sure ain't worth it because this hurts. And so we turned around and came back. And so what happens is that hedge of protection, it's got thorns in it. It's got things that are going to hurt you, but it's for your own benefit. If God's saying, hey, if you want what's out there, you're going to have to work for it. But you know what's crazy about us and our flesh? We will push right through that hedge. And we'll truck through it. We don't care about the thorns. We don't care about the hurt. We don't care about whatever's going on inside that hedge. We will push and push and push, and it will leave scars that we'll have for the rest of our life. We'll look down at our arms and see the cuts. We'll look down and be picking out those thorns there and go, man, It wasn't even worth it. Why did I do that? And then if you make it through, God forbid you make it through, but if you push through enough, that snake's right out there. It's just waiting. See, the hedge, it hurts, but the snake, it kills. And God knows that. And so here he puts it in front of Hosea's wife and says, hey, I'm putting this here to protect you from those outside desires. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 again. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I hope this is okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look down at verse number 8 again. We've already read it. We'll read it again. It says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So God gives us the hedge. He gives it to us for blessings. He gives it to us for protection. And it's so good that it even protects us from Satan. But do you realize that man can break it? Now, I want you to fathom this, because I just said that Satan was asking permission to do it. Satan, that being who's 10 times more powerful than us, that being who could break us like a twig if God gave him permission to, he can't get through it. But you know what God allows? Man, as weak as it is, and just our frames are all we are is dust, Psalm says, we're nothing, we can just break right through a hedge of God. We can get right through it. And don't we do that so many times?
Yeah.
Man just breaks right through. God's just trying to protect us. But like I said, Satan's sitting on the other side going, don't you want what's out here? You ever heard the saying, grass is greener on the other side? He has a way of not showing you all the barren land. He has a way of showing you that it's dry out there. He has a way of showing you that there's nothing good that comes from getting through the hedge. He'll make everything look real good, and then you'll go through it. You'll break through. You'll get all the cuts and all the scars, and you'll get through, and then Satan just locks those fangs right in. And then the poison comes. And man, you'll be looking back at the blessings of God, and his poison is so strong that you'll go, man, I'm so glad I broke through. It's great out here as you're bleeding from the thorns. It's great out here as the poison is heading toward your heart. You're about to die, but in your mind, you're thinking, man, this is fun. I'm having a great time. I love it. But then at night, you're laying in bed, soaking your pillow in tears. At night when nobody's looking and you feel alone, the bitterness sets in. The hurt sets in. The loneliness sets in. But you're having a great time, according to that venom, according to the fangs that he's locked in. We break it down all the time. We destroy those hedges just to get what we want. Because ultimately, our will, sometimes we feel is better than God's will. And we'll do anything to get our will. Isn't Jesus Christ our example? Didn't he say, not my will, but thine be done? Man, how many better Christians would be if I prayed, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God's got something so much better for us, folks. Man, he's got some big plans for Faith Baptist Church. He's got something he wants to do, a work that needs to be done. And if we would just allow it, if we would just yield to the will of God, it might have some things that hurt in it. It might have some times of sorrow. I'm not saying that doesn't happen in the will of God. But what I am saying is by the end of all of it, you can look back and go, man, it was so worth it. Every part of it was worth it. Man, the fruit that I saw, the way God used me, man, the way that my family is raised right in church and doing right and living right, I don't have to worry about my daughter or my son going out and doing something stupid. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Amen. It was so worth it inside the hedge. So a hedge can be broken by man, but you know what happens when we break it? You know what God expects? He expects us to fix it. Look at the book of Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 13. He's the one who put it there. He gave it to us for our protection, and we did everything we could to break through. So, you know, God says, all right, you've made a hole, you've messed up, now fix it. It's going to take some work on your part. See, salvation was free. There's a lot of things that God gives us for free, but if we willingly put the chains of sin back on, he says, all right, now there's going to take some work on your part. How many can say in here, I know someone who's tried quitting smoking multiple times? Do you realize that when they pick the cigarette back up, it's 10 times harder than it was the first time to quit? The first time, they're like, man, I can't believe I'm doing so good. It's been a week. It's been a month. It's been a year. Whatever it may be, they're like, thank the Lord. God delivered me from that. But then that stressful situation comes. That thing that before their stronghold was that cigarette when that time came. And so they pick it up for whatever reason, whatever happens in their life, and they go back to that thing. And then before they know it, 10 years have passed, and they're still smoking. And they're saying, God, I want to quit, and I believe with all my heart, those that smoke and are trying to do right, I believe they want to quit. But the thing is, their flesh says, no, you need this. Yeah. Remember that time you quit? Remember how bad that was? It was terrible. You didn't have anything when you were stressed. And that stress, and it's crazy because the life is always stressful, so it's interesting when you try to quit how much stress enters your life. Yeah. Who's involved with that? It doesn't sound like God, does it? Yeah. It's making the devil's making sure you still have something, some hook, some fang still inside you. And so here we break those hedges. It's up to us to fix it. Hezekiah's not a book. Ezekiel chapter number 13. Look at verse number 5. It says, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Who's he talking to? Verse number 2 says, son of man, prophesy against the who? The prophets. You know who he's mad at? The preachers weren't doing their job. The preachers weren't preaching about breaking that hedge down. They saw Israel going the wrong way. They saw them worshiping the idols they never should have worshiped. They saw them doing things they never should have done. You know what they did? They said, oh, it's okay. You'll be fine. It's not that big of a deal. I know God says this in his law, but he didn't really mean it like that. You know how far they actually go? They aren't saying that God doesn't mean it. In fact, they say the God of Israel is dead. Jeremiah says that they're saying, hey, God's gone. Don't worry about him. That wasn't a very good prophet. And so he tells the prophet, you're not even trying to fix the hedges. Listen, when you mess up and when you do wrong, you broke through that hedge. There's now a hole there. There's now the protection is broken. You're now letting the things that were once on the outside, you're letting them in. You know what it's up to you to do? God, I'm sorry. I messed up. God, I am sorry. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. I did it. Not some coworker that tempted me. Not my mom and dad who weren't doing right. Not my brother and my sister who weren't doing right. It was me, God. I chose to mess up. I chose to go out that hedge. Would you forgive me? And the second you do that, you know what happens? That hedge starts getting built back up. That hedge, you listen to the preaching of God, you listen to the word of God when you open it, the conviction happens and you get things right, you get to an altar and you get down and say, God, I'm sorry, and leave it there, the hedges start getting built again.
Yeah.
But you know what it's our job to do? Faith Baptist Church, when someone breaks through the hedge, through the years, we've seen a lot of people break through the hedge. Through the years, we've seen a man of God, our pastor, faithful for over 30 years preaching out of the word of God, saying, hey, God has what's best for you. Saying, hey, don't do this. Don't do that. When they come to him for counseling, sometimes we joke about it. He always says, have you been reading your Bible? But that's because that's what's going to work. Right. He's not saying it as a joke. He's not saying it to be funny. He's not saying it just to be passive. He's saying, this is what worked for me, so I know it's going to work for you. Have you been reading?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they do is they say, well, no, preacher, I haven't really been reading, but.
Right.
The answer was the truth.
Yeah.
And so, you know what he's been doing? Look at Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, look at verse number 30. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. He's talking about fixing again. He said, but if you're not going to fix it, watch this. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But then the saddest verses you might find in the Bible, but I found none. Israel was a big place. Judah was a big place. There was a lot of men there, but not one of them were willing to stand in the gap. Not one of them were willing to step in that gap and say, God, I know my nation's done wrong. You know, I love the prayer of Ezra in the book of Ezra when he finds out about all the sin that's going on, the Levites, they end up marrying people they're not supposed to marry. He didn't do that. He didn't marry who he wasn't supposed to marry, but you know what he says? God, we have done wrong. God, we have messed up. Faith, sometimes you have to take ownership. Sometimes you have to say, even if you weren't the one involved in the sin, it's okay to say, God, we sure are messing up. God, we're not doing right. Would you help us? Would you forgive us? We need someone to stand in the gap. Man, we need some men to stand in the gap and say, I know my kid doesn't want to do right now. I know they're struggling. But I'm going to stand in the gap. They may have broke through the hedge, but I'm going to stand in the gap, and I'm going to say, God, I know they've done wrong, but Would you not let the world creep in any more than it already has?
Amen.
God, I know they've seen some things they're not supposed to see. I know they've been hindered in their walk. I know the devil's been at work. I know their flesh has been strong. But God, I'm going to stand in the gap. And would you help me to be strong for my family? Would you help me to do right and lead by example and show them? If you had some men to stand in the gap, the rest will follow.
Amen.
Do you stand in the gap for your friends? Do you stand in the gap for your family? Is it all about you? All about what blessings you can get? Are you the one breaking through the hedge?
Yeah.
Are you the one trying to tear it down? Because you know what's sad and what happens? I've seen pastor homes with good, godly men, men who are trying to do right, trying to live right, doing what he thought was best for his family, and his kids broke through the hedge.
Right.
And you know what happens when the kids broke through the hedge? The world got into a preacher's house. They may have been sneaking it in. That preacher may have had no idea. And if he did, he was praying. He was trying to do what was right. He was trying to maybe rebuke them, do whatever he had to do. But ultimately, because they broke through, they allowed the world to get in. And you know what happened? It started with older brother doing what he wanted, or older sister. And then the younger sibling follows. And then the younger sibling follows. And all the work that father being faithful for all those years because of one decision of some young teenager who thought, I want to do it my way. Everyone else in the family came crashing down.
Right.
When you break through the hedge, not only do you have the scars to show for it, not only does the serpent bite you, but you just left a huge gap for that serpent to get into your house.
Yep.
And once the serpent's in, he doesn't care about you anymore. He's going for everybody else that you've ever loved.
Yeah.
That's how the devil works. Sometimes we think of the devil as a human. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, you know, if we're down and out, you know, he'll have a little bit of sympathy. No, he doesn't care. If you're down and out, that's a trophy for him, and he just wants more. He wants to destroy our lives. Here's the scary part of the lesson. Look at Isaiah chapter number 5. We're almost done. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, look at verse number 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. This is God talking about Israel. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I have a couple more verses on this, but I'm not going to do them for sake of time. You know what happens ultimately? God gave us the hedge to protect us and for blessings. We do everything in our power to break through it. We do everything in our power to get out of it. We won't stand in the gap. We won't build it back up. But you know what God finally says? Obviously, you don't want this hedge. Obviously, you don't care about my protection. Obviously, you didn't care about the blessings that I promised you. You don't want me? Then fine. I'll step away. But I'm taking my hedge with me. And he pulls that hedge off. And you know what happens? In Psalms 80, you know what it says? It says the boars charge in. And it says destroys the whole vineyard. They eat everything. When the hedge is taken out in the Bible, every time a hedge is removed, the thing that was inside the hedge is completely and utterly destroyed. Nothing's left. That's how much God's protecting you. There are spirits at work that, like Pastor says, if God would open our eyes, it would scare us to death to see what the spirits of this world and of Satan and what they can do. You know what they're doing? They're sitting outside that hedge like those boars, like the bulls of Bashan, Psalms 22 says. They're sitting out that hedge just waiting for some young person, some man ahead of his family, some wife who's maybe the weaker vessel and is letting the devil in their ear, waiting for them to break down that hedge so that God will remove it. And then they just destroy. That's the judgment of God.
Yep.
God gives it to you as a blessing, but if you don't want it, then his judgment is to remove it. That's a scary place to be. I love Faith Baptist Church. I believe it's protected by a hedge. But you know what I would hate one day? If God were to say, all right, Faith doesn't want it, obviously, and lift the hedge. There's a lot of churches in this country where the hedge was lifted.
Amen.
They're not here anymore.
Yeah.
They've got new signs that have nothing to do with the church. It's a new building. In fact, I believe it's Victory Church on Route 8. I think it's like a construction building now. It's an office building. It was once a church. So what is that? A hedge was lifted. That could be Faith Baptist one day. We think that it can't because it's been around so long, and praise God that it has been, and we have a man of God who's faithful.
Yeah.
But if we as a church don't want to stay in the protection of God's will, then as a church, we'll have to pay for it.
Amen.
Even if there's one or two trying to stay in, God sometimes look at it as a whole.
Right.
There was what, 10,000 that didn't bow a knee to Baal, but the nation of Israel was still destroyed. Yeah. He protected those. There was a remnant, but the nation, the whole, the church, it can get destroyed. God gave us hedges for his protection. So young people, if I can get one thing across to you, stay in the hedge. There's nothing like it. And if you do get out of it, if you got some scars to show it, it's okay. Get back in and say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. I messed up. God has put hedges in the Bible and in the Word of God to show us that he's protecting us. But he has every right to lift it if he wants to.
Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. I thank you for...